I'm going to share with you some of my latest excitement about higher order topological phases. So these are non-interacting topological phases, but with an unusual bulk boundary correspondence that's protected by symmetries. And in this talk, I'm going to tell you about an exotic pairing phase, a superconducting phase that belongs to this kind. And I'm going to go from a recipe for this phase based on symmetry indicator analysis to a material prediction. So let me start with what I mean by higher order topological phases. So for traditional, so for traditional topological phases in D dimension, a hallmark signature is that there is boundary modes in D minus one dimension. Okay, so for 1D system, you have N modes, 2D, you have edge modes, and 3D, you have surface modes. But for a higher order case, I mean that your boundary modes only appears at D minus two or even lower dimension, but no D minus one dimensional case. So there are different ways to achieve this kind of hot phase, so higher order topological phase. So there are the extrinsic way and the intrinsic way. For the extrinsic way, means that you can design the systems D minus one dimensional gap, such that there's a zero dimensional, a D minus two dimensional gapless node. And in this case, the bulk symmetries and the bulk gap are irrelevant. It's not involved. And for the intrinsic case, means that.
In this case, do you have to break the surface symmetry?
What?
In this case, do you have to break the surface symmetry?
Probably. You mean the extrinsic case, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so usually people just try to engineer your D minus one dimensional gap such that there is a domain wall by design. So that's how you get it. But in the intrinsic case, the difference is that domain wall is protected by your symmetries in the bulk. Okay. So you can also say that this higher order topology in this case is protected by the bulk gap. And so the natural question is, what kind of symmetries can protect higher order topology? And one possibility is if you have some non-local bulk symmetries. So why is that? So let me give you a simple intuition of why. Okay, good. So why a non-local symmetry can work? So suppose I have a 2D hot phase and on the disk. Okay, so because it's a higher order phase, so I have these, I'm expecting to have these zero dimensional gapless modes. And for the one dimensional edge, it has to be gapped. So I need to have some mass term on the one dimensional edge. So suppose now I have some bulk symmetry O that connects this segment of your edge mass to that segment of your edge mass. And your ground state is in the odd parity irreducible representation of symmetry O. Then that will require this part of mass and that part of mass to have opposite signs, so that you can have this these stars. That's the domain wall that's enforced by your O symmetry. Okay, so this is one possibility, and that's why we want non-local symmetries. And one possibility is crystalline symmetries, right? Crystalline symmetries are often non-local. So what are the effects of crystalline symmetries on topology in SVTs? One thing is that when you have crystalline symmetries in an SVT, it allows you to infer the topology of the system from just the symmetry eigenvalues. Okay, and the famous example is the Fuqing criteria. When you have a 3D TI with inversion symmetry, the Z2 strong index can be calculated by just the parity eigenvalues of all the occupied bands. So this is a simple example. And if a topological index can be represented by just the symmetry eigenvalues, it's also called the symmetry indicators.
Something general. So in the 3D time reversal and the inversion symmetric in solid, is the classification Z2 still Z2?
That's a good point. That's the next slide. Okay, so so you can calculate the Z2 index, that's the Z2, the strong index, but it can also inversion symmetry can also change the topological classification, which is probably what you're asking, right? And so besides the crystal symmetry can simplify your expression for the known topological indices, it can also change the topological classification. And so that example that you just mentioned is just one example. In this paper, in 2017, what they do is consider this 3D TI in not just a certain crystalline symmetry, but all space groups, like 200 and something space groups, and consider how the classification changed. So what they did is the following. So they define a group for all the possible, all the allowed band structure, BS stands for band structure, and then a group for all the atomic insulator, AI stands for atomic insulators, and all the information they're using are just the eigenvalues of all the Alcoban bands. Okay. And then this quotient group here are the allowed symmetry indicators you can have, basically corresponds to that. And there are two parts. One is the weak index, and one is the strong index. And they find that for the strong index, it's compatible with the known weak TI indices or weak error turn numbers, okay? So nothing special, it's just simplifying the way you express it. But for the strong index, sometimes it's not compatible with known indices without crystalline symmetry. So it means that your band topology is changed by certain crystalline symmetries. For instance, so for space groups with inversion symmetries, it becomes, the strong index becomes Z4 instead of Z2. It's probably what you're referring to. Okay. So in this PRX paper, they explicitly show this example and why is Z4. So let me go into a little bit about this. So now let's consider the 3D case, and it's the insulator case in the presence of inversion. So this Z4 symmetry indicator has this form where this n plus and n minus is just counting how many occupied bands with even parity and odd parity. That's what n plus and n minus means at only the trims. So that's the time reversal invariant momenta. So basically these 8 momenta. So the kappa equals to 4, you can calculate it, corresponds to when all the bands are plus. And it's twofold degenerate because you have time reversal inversion. And similarly, you can explore all possibilities. Okay. And then there's this kappa equals to 0 possibility. And then they show that these two cases are arising from atomic insulators. So then you know that it's mod 4. And so it's a Z4 symmetry indicator. So 0 and 4 are the same. So I have these 4 possibilities. So what do I know about them? I know this one is trivial because it's coming from an atomic insulator. And then additionally, you can relate this kappa n to the usual Z2 strong index that we know. And they're related by Mach 2. So I know that in terms of protected surface states, these two don't have surface state. And these two are the usual topological insulator we talk about. So these two are topological, OK, fine. But what about this guy? It's not coming from an atomic insulator. So it's topologically distinct from this 0 case. But on the other hand, it doesn't have surface state. So there is a possibility that it doesn't have surface state, but it has hinge modes. That's the one-dimensional mode. And that's the higher order topology. So in this paper, they construct a double TI model and then show the bulk boundary correspondence of this kind in that model. So now, but the question I'm after is there a superconductor analog of that? Meaning that, is there an inversion protected topological crystalline superconductor with some sort of kappa that's defined for a Bogoliubov-Degen Hamiltonian,
BDG.
And maybe it's two or whatnot, but it corresponds to also this higher order boundary mode. Is there such a phase? And the reason why I care about superconductors, one reason, is that now this higher order boundary modes are now mirror on us. Okay. So specifically, why we care about topological superconductors, one important reason is because these mirror on us. So in one-dimensional system, you have these mirror on N modes. In two-dimensional, besides the edge modes, you can thread a vortex and get a zero mode that's sitting in the vortex form. And for 3D, you have surface mode. And now there is another possibility to get zero-dimensional mirror on us. That's if you have a 2D higher order, then you can have corner modes, mirror on a corner modes. And I guess everyone knows that one reason people like Marana zero modes, that's a zero-dimensional case, is because it has been proposed to be qubits for topological quantization. So, but now the question is, do we have this kind of phase, and how do we realize it? Okay, so let's start from a 3D case. So earlier this year, these authors, they talk about the 3D case. So they define an analogous symmetry indicator for a BDG Hamiltonian. So BDG Hamiltonian is the Minkowski Hamiltonian for superconductor, where this H are the normal state and delta are the pairing term.
Okay.
So we need to start from defining a symmetry operator for a BDG Hamiltonian. So this UBDG, the symmetry operator, is defined in the particle hole basis. Okay, and this U itself is for the normal state Hamiltonian. And this chi here is basically correspond to which irreducible representation your delta, your pairing is in. For example, if your chi is plus one, means that your pairing is even parity under U. And when it's minus one, means it's an odd parity pairing under U. Okay. And so if I define my symmetry operator for HBDG this way, then my HBDG is gonna be invariant under this UBDG, despite that my delta can be in different irreps. So this is the normal bands that they consider. Remember that for superconductors, your normal band is not gapped anymore, it's a metal. So it's a gapless state, and usually it's a little tricky to talk about topology, but this is how they did it. So if you have normal bands like this, then your BDG bands are gonna be like this. And then you again consider all the occupy bands and their parity under the inversion operator defined this way. Okay, for plus is for even parity, minus for odd parity superconductor. And then this is the indicator that defined, which is basically the same as the insulator case. It's just that now it's for BDG band. And so one thing to notice is that when the superconductor is even parity, say S wave or D wave superconductor, if you calculate this, it's gonna always gonna be zero. So always trivial. But if it's odd parity pairing, then this kappa takes four values and is again a Z4. But later this year, there's also another paper here that they pointed out that with a slightly different approach, you get Z8. So that they're probably still under debate. But now my focus is gonna be in 2D. Okay, so my goal is to realize this thing in 2D. So what I'm gonna do is the following. I'm gonna find a recipe, and then based on the recipe, I'm gonna construct a minimal model that realizes this phase. Then I'm gonna demonstrate the bulk boundary correspondence in my minimal model. finally, I'm going to predict a material that has this space. And so actually, this last step is pretty hard. And it's because you can see that from we don't even have a lot of candidates for the traditional topological superconductors. And the reason is the following. Making predictions for unconventional superconductors is just hard. And the reason is because now in the problem, you have topology, and you have symmetry, and you have some sort of interaction. This is the interaction that's giving you the superconductivity. No matter whether you do mean field, you do perturbation, you have to deal with it. So it's a hard thing, and it's beyond band structure calculation. So even if we already have lots of topological insulators, we need a catalog for it, we don't have a lot of topological superconductors. But anyway, I'm going to try to do that. So first, we conjecture a similar symmetry indicator, also Z4, for a 2D case. And there are some restrictions for this definition. Some cases it applies, some it doesn't. But yeah, I won't talk about it here. And then the only difference will be now the trim is over just the 2D trims. And this C is just the parity for the occupied BD gen. So again, I focus on the odd parity case because that's the only possibility we get something non-trivial. And similarly, this kappa is related to the Z2 index nu for the D3. That's the time reversal topological superconductors. So that if you have kappa equals to 0 and 2, there's no edge modes, no Marana edge. But if it's 1 or 3, you have Marana edge modes. And similarly, this kappa equals 2 has no edge states, but it's topologically distinct from the trivial case. So possibly there's going to be Marana quarter mode. So the next step is to try to come up with a recipe. In this recipe, I want to say that what kind of normal state should I be looking for? And what kind of pairing should I be looking for? Okay, and to do so, I can start from the normal state band structure mapping from your K to H0, because it's predictable, it's more controllable, and hopefully it's gonna carry over to your BDG Hamiltonian. Unfortunately, this connection is not always clear, but this is what we wanna understand for this case. And remember that now this H0 is actually metallic. So it's a little more complicated because of that, because how to define the topology of a metal is not always clear. But there is a way to go around that, as I will show later. So this is how I'm going to build the recipe. Step one, I can define the 2D index nu. Let's start from insulator case for 2D TI, and then also a kappa for a 2D TI. And in 2D case, they're the same. Okay, there's no mod 2. Nu n for normal state is just kappa n, still Z2. And this is for insulator case. For the metallic case, where your Fermi surface circle trim, okay, this kappa can be half integers. So this doesn't hold anymore. Okay. But if you consider the metallic system where your Fermi surface is away from trim, then this symmetry indicator is not affected by the fact that it's metal. Okay. So this relation still holds. And we're going to just focus on this case because it's simple. I'll call it an effectively gapped topological metal, because at each trim, the occupied band number is the same. So this is what we have now. For a metallic normal state that's effectively gapped, I have this. The second step is to relate the symmetry indicators for my normal state and my BDG Hamiltonian. And again, that's related by kappa to 2 times of kappa n, because in the weak pairing limit, you can see you have just 2 copies. You have the electron copy and the hole copy. And it's Z4, and we focus on the weak R parity case. Oops. So now, imagine that I have a normal state that has nu equals to 1. means that my kappa n is also 1. So I put it down here, and then my kappa is going to be 2. So that's a very simple way of getting a recipe. Means that these are my ingredients. I need time reversal symmetry. I need inversion symmetry. I need my normal state nu equals to 1. It's a metal, effectively gap metal with nu equals to 1. And then I need R parity, superconductivity. And in the end, I'm going to get a topological crystalline superconductor with kappa equals to 2. Okay? So I'm going to summarize my recipe here first. So for the normal state, I'm going to look for a central symmetric material, that is a gated quantum spin Hall insulator. And its Fermi surface is away from your trims. Okay. And for the pairing part, I want an R parity superconductivity, say P wave. In this case, I'm going to get a topological crystalline superconductor with kappa equals to 2.
The kappa, the definition of kappa was given on the last page.
The kappa definition of kappa is the thing that we conjecture. Here. So it's basically very similar to what they had in the insulator and 3D case, where it's just sum over all your parity eigenvalues of the occupied bands, BDG bands.
And the definition of kappa n was given before?
Yes. Kappa n was okay, so it's analogous to the 3D insulator case, but now you sum over all the 2D trims, and it becomes a Z2 instead of Z4.
Okay, wait for a second.
Okay, so now this is what I have. In order to say that it's a higher order case, this is not enough. I need to additionally show that it's really high order. And I'm not gonna rigorously prove it. I'm gonna show the bulk boundary correspondence in a minimal level. So I'm not gonna go into all the details here, but I'm gonna list what I will do step by step. So basically, the question I'm after is, what kind of boundary modes are there if I have a kappa equals to 2 superconductor against the vacuum? Okay. So the first thing is to construct a minimal model. So following my recipe, I can construct the model this way. I'm gonna gate a BHC model for a quantum spin Hall. And by gating, I'm just adding a chemical potential. And make sure that your Fermi surface is away from trim. And then I'm gonna add some sort of R parity pairing. And this model can exhibit phase transitions from kappa equals to 4 to 3 and to 2. Then I'm gonna put this model on a 3 regime geometry. Okay, so I'm now preserving rotational symmetry just for calculation convenience, so that I can use polar coordinates. And so I have a circle of kappa equals to 2 and the kappa equals to 3 and 4 regime. And this is the vacuum. And because this kappa equals to 3 has nu equals to 1, yes?
Maybe I missed something again. Did you already explain that kappa equal to 4 is trivial?
Because it's a Z4 quantity. It's mod Z4, mod 4, so it's a...
I mean, mathematically it's mod 4, but physically, did you explain it's trivial?
What do you mean? So you mean like it's coming from a atomic insulator or...
Atomic superconductor.
Atomic superconductor, that's a good point. So I didn't do that, but in the recent paper that says that the 3D case is Z8, they define what an atomic insulator is in the superconducting case, and they got Z4 as well. So it means that this quantity is 0 and 4 should be the same. So I didn't do it, but some other paper did it. So I'm making the claim, and if you believe me, that the kappa equals to 4 and 0 are the same. Yeah. Yeah, we can discuss more about it later, about that paper. Right. So Right. So because this kappa equals to 3 has is related to the d3, z2, and x nu by ma 2, so nu equals to 1 here. And when you have nu equals to 1 means that you have edge modes, Majorana edge modes. Okay? So we go ahead and solve for the two pairs of helical edge modes between the 2 and 3 boundary and between the 3 and 4 boundary. Then, after getting the expression for those, I'm gonna shrink the kappa equals to 3 regime such that I can achieve this situation. And when I shrink the regime, I mean that now these two pairs of edge modes can talk to each other. So I can write down all the backscattering terms, I can get them out and see what happens. And so I can construct the effective edge theory by projecting my pairing terms and some other perturbation terms onto the edge modes that I solved. Okay, and then we found that the lowest order terms that can get them out has a theta dependence. Okay. So it means that this H prime, that's the backscattering term, has opposite sign for this part and that part of the system. And that's related by inversion symmetry. And this tells me that there's at least two symmetry guaranteed zero dimensional Majorana modes on the boundary. And so now I'm preserving rotational symmetry, right? So once I break rotational symmetry and put it on a, say, square sample, it's gonna usually be trapped on the corners. And that's the Majorana corner modes we're talking about. So that's the higher order topology. So far, by this construction, I've sort of demonstrated the higher order topology, the bulk boundary correspondence in this minimal model that we constructed. So the last step is let's go ahead and look for the material. So the recipe for inversion protected higher order superconductor means it's kappa equals to 2. As three ingredients, I want something that's central symmetric, meaning it's inversion symmetric. And I want a quantum spin Hall material and with a Fermi surface that's away from trim. And then I want the R parity pairing. So this material that's called monolayer tungsten tellurite is an interesting material that's a van der Waal material that you can generate using the Scotch tape method, just like in graphene. And it's central symmetric, meaning that although it's a buckled honeycomb, not it's quasi 2D, but still, given that it's highly distorted, there's still an inversion center. And here are some experimental facts about that material. Okay, so in 2014, MIT group predicted that this material, monolayer, is gonna be a quantum spin Hall. And experimentally, later it was confirmed that you have edge conductance and it's quantized. So it's done by two different groups and they saw the same thing. And this quantized conductance, 2 squared over H, is expected for a quantum spin Hall. Moreover, a little bit later, upon gating, people saw superconductivity in this material. So you can see that they got these two groups got very similar phase diagram. You have a quantum spin Hall, and then you have a superconductor upon gating. So this superconductivity is so close to a topological insulator, a topological phase. So it makes me wonder like whether it's topological or not, right? Or let's not go that far. Is it conventional or unconventional? And moreover, can it be odd parity superconductivity? So there are hints that superconductivity is unconventional, meaning that it's not S-wave, it's not BCS. Here are the hints. First of all, the experimentalists don't have to gate by a lot to see the superconductivity. So it's an extremely low carrier density superconductor. And second, the electronic correlation is expected to be strong because people did ab initio DFT calculations and compared to ARPAS, and the results are very different. Now, the ab initio calculation, if you don't add in anything that's too fine-tuned, then you'll get a semi-metal. But then for the ARPAS result, people thought that it's a common spin Hall insulator. Okay. So and then besides that, the electronic correlation is strong, meaning that the pairing mechanism is likely not like electron phonon coupling. There is also this in-plane critical field HC2. So both groups saw that the HC2 in plane is higher than the Pauli limit. And so if any of you are aware of other this family of material, that's like MOS2, molybdenum disulfide, and so on. In that case, the in-plane HC2 is also high, but that's for another reason. That's because in that case, there's no inversion symmetry, and so you have a large spin orbit coupling that's pinning your electron spin in the z direction. So no matter how large of the field you're adding in plane, it's just not flipping. So, but it's not the case here because we have inversion symmetry in this material, and that spin orbit coupling is not here. So there. What are the reasons that can cause such a high HC2? So of course, there are reasons that's coming from the normal state. For example, if you have a high spin orbit scattering rate, and or your G factor is just not 2. Okay? But there's also an alternative explanation. That is, you have an equal spin pairing that's along your B field. So we all know that if you have an equal spin pairing, you're having a spin triplet superconductivity. And because of fermionic statistics of your Cooper pair wave function, means that your parity is odd, so say P wave. So there are so many hints that the superconductivity can be unconventional. And we know that WT2 is inversion symmetric. And we know that it's a Conan spin Hall, and you get superconductivity after you gate it. So the last thing that we're not sure of is whether it has an odd parity pairing. And that's where we have to actually do the calculation. So what I'm going to do in the following is, I'm gonna study the pairing symmetry in this material, and in the presence and absence of the in-plane field. And then I'm gonna calculate the topological properties of it, the kappa, and what kind of boundary modes you're gonna get when you actually put it on an open geometry. So to talk about pairing symmetries, you have to know what the lattice symmetry is. And this material has this 1T prime lattice. That is a rectangular lattice with W and T orbitals. So you have so many degrees of freedom. You have AB sublattice, you have spin, and then you have the orbital, because W is D orbital-like, T is P orbital-like. And there are two non-symmorphic symmetries in the system. One is a glide mirror symmetry, and then the other is a C2X screw rotation symmetry. And the product of the two is inversion. So parity is a good quantum number
in this material.
So now I can classify all the possible pairing symmetries based on those two symmetries. That's a mirror and the C2X. So depending on whether you're plus means even, minus means odd, depend on whether each E-rep is even or odd. Under these two symmetries, I have four possibilities. And because inversion is the product of the two, so these two gives even parity, these two gives odd parity pairing. And so these two are spin singlet, whereas these two are spin triplet. For example, an on-site pairing, the conventional S-wave pairing AG belongs to that. And then whereas an example of BU is this kind of, so this is a unit cell, this square is unit cell. So, and this kind of next nearest neighbor pairing belongs to this BU. And the spin part is triplet. Okay. and it's a time reversal symmetric triplet. It's up, down, plus, down, up. It's not chiral. Okay, so these are all the possibilities, but which one is the most energetically favorable one that we don't know? So to do that, we simply solve the linearized gap equations for it. So this is the linear gap equation, where delta is the gap function, and V is the pair interaction. Chi is the non-interacting particle pairing susceptibility. And the input that I need to give is the Fermi surface, how the Fermi surface look like, and what kind of interactions do I want to assume. And the output is the pairing symmetry of the dominant pairing gap. So it's going to tell me which one is going to be dominant. And this is the model I'm using. Okay, so we're adapting a type binding model that's coming from a DFT calculation that proposed in these two papers. And then we add a finite chemical potential to model the gating. Okay, so you can see that this is the band. You can see that these two Fermi surfaces are away from Trin. Okay. And a few things about this model. It includes both W and TE, and there is spin rate coupling. But the spin rate coupling breaks SU2, but it preserves SZ, so I can still talk about spin up and spin down. And there is inversion time reversal. As for the interaction term, we're assuming density-density short-range interactions. All of these terms are considered. So all these lines that I'm drawing here are considered. And so because there are so many terms, I'm assuming all the on-site terms are U, and all the short-range interactions are V. So this is a crude approximation, but that's what we did. And then this is the phase diagram I got. So in terms of U and V, when positive is repulsive, when negative is attractive. So of course, when both are repulsive, I don't have any pairing, okay? And for on-site attraction, when it's on-site attraction that's dominating, I got AG, which is the usual singlet, S wave or whatnot, belongs to AG. And when the nearest neighbor attractions dominate, I have triplet pairings. And these two, the BU and this part, the difference is just the spin orientation. So this is up, down, plus, down, up. And this is up, up, and down, down. And the difference between these two is they belong to different phase because SU2 is broken. And so now I'm going to look at two representative points. And then I'm going to study whether this operary phase have what kind of kappa does it have, and does it have edge modes or corner modes? And then I'm gonna study how these phases symmetries are gonna change under an imprint field. So we study the BU phase, and then we find that kappa equals to 2 within this model, and so it means that according to the previous analysis, that it's an inversion protected high order phase. And if you put it on a square geometry, you can see that there are zero energy modes here. And it doesn't seem like exactly zero, but that's because of the system size. And we additionally show a finite size scaling, which I didn't show here, that it's approaching zero. And then we go look for the spatial profile of these zero energy modes. And you can see that it's localized at this corner and this corner. So I'm actually showing the plot for a smaller system, because for a larger system, it's really just a dot that you can't really see from the slides. So it's localizing very well on the two corners, opposite corners. And so that's basically the corner modes I'm talking about. But now it's not a single Marana, it's a Kramer's pair because of the time reversal symmetry. So in principle, STM can probe this because it's just density profile on the corners. Now, the next thing I want to study is how does in-plane field.
Wait, you're confused about phasing. So nothing.
What's the question? Okay.
Oh, let me confirm. So Poisson is calculated using the BCS wave function with the input of the gap you calculated from the gap equation?
Right. So actually, for this calculation, I didn't mention that. I first self-consistently solved the gap equation. So this is a self-consistent solution.
That's how you obtain the phase diagram.
No. So obtaining phase diagram, I actually solved the linearized gap equation. But for this purpose, I want to put it on a real space lattice. What I did is actually I self-consistently solved the gap equation on a finite lattice, a finite sample. And then so I'll obtain the pairing with the lowest energy. Okay, and then I directly use that that pairing and study the spectrum and also the eigenstate, how the eigenstate look like. So this is a really self-consistent solution to the model. Right. And then I self-consistently solve the gap equation again in real space, but now with an in-plane field in this direction. So this field is going to break inversion symmetry. Okay. And so these are the two phase diagrams I get. So if I start from this BU, I'm gonna still get BU, okay? And this notation is a little confusing, but what it's saying is just this just tells me which direction of spin I have. I'm gonna show you later. And then in this, if I start from the AG, start from a boring S wave superconductor, after you apply a field, you're gonna surprisingly, you're gonna get a triplet superconductor. And so let me talk about it more. So for this first case, it's a crossover at around the one poly limit. So what's happening here is that your spin rotates from the original SC equals to zero to SX equals to one. So it's like aligning with your field. Okay, and so your symmetry is unchanged, it's still BU, so it's a crossover. But for this, if you start from an S-wave superconductor, and indeed your superconductivity is killed by the magnetic field at one poly limit, but after that, a triplet phase, that's the same triplet phase, emerge. Okay, so it's now going from singlet to a triplet that's aligning with the field. So that's a first order transition. And you go from C to X, that's the good, the surviving symmetry, go from even to odd.
Okay.
So this BU prime prime, I'm not showing here, but it's actually an extrinsic high order topological superconductor, meaning that because your bulk, your inversion symmetry is broken, but your bulk gap is not closed by the field yet. So so the corner mole is still there. Numerically, you can see that. And so this is all I have. So in this work, we obtain a general recipe from indicator analysis that tells you that what you want to look for is a inversion symmetric material, and the normal says to be a gated Conan spin hull material. And then the pairing term has to be R parity. And then we predict that this material, constant depth telluride, which is a superconductor that's already experimentally realized, that the superconductivity they saw there in the experiment could be, there is a possibility that it's this intrinsic higher order topological superconductor with Majorana corner moles. And experimentally should be able to probe it using STM. And then even if, unfortunately, the material's ground state is this boring S wave, the trivial representation AG, what you can do is to apply an in-plane field, and then you can induce a triplet superconductor that's aligning with spin, aligning with the field, and we think that it's an extrinsic high order
topological superconductor.
So that's about it.
Questions?
So is it essential that the normal state is already non-trivial, or do you think you could have like a like some pairing which kind of gives you the higher order topology?
Which you mean this material?
Yeah, like in your construction, you require the normal state is already kind of like a gated topological insulator.
Right.
Is that essential in general, or like could one have some more exotic pairing then?
Yeah, so that's another direction or another strategy. Here the strategy is that you need some sort of topology already in your normal state, and then you need another piece from the pairing that has to be a parity. Right. But of course, as you said, there's another strategy is you want all the topology to happen in the pairing, the off-diagonal pairing term in the BDG Hamiltonian.
Yeah.
That's also possible in principle, I guess, but we didn't explore that direction.
Yeah, and also on the flip side, if you start out with a higher order topological insulator, you gate that, can you also end up with this?
Or? Yeah. So that's also a good point. We're actually looking into one of those cases. So I think that strongly depends on your dimension. So because as I showed previously, how do you relate your BDG kappa and your normal kappa? It's just twice, right? So depending on what kind of classification you have, if you say you have kappa n equals to 2 or whatnot, and then you gate it. You see what I mean? So for the insulator case, if it's already kappa equals to 2, and if you times 2, then it becomes 4. So if it's Z4, then you get something trivial. But if it's Z8, as the other group proposed, then you get something non-trivial. So it really depends on the classification you have.
So the higher order topological insulator has been realized in materials or?
I think there are material proposals, but I think there it's not realized. I'm not too sure about insulator case.
Isn't the Milch insulator supposed to be higher order as well?
GCI? I mean the
thing that you...
That's...
You can restrict the gapless mode only to the reflection plane.
Yeah.
Then by definition it's also higher order.
Which case?
What's that?
To tolerate.
Oh, right. Yeah, I think so, yeah. Right. I think that's probably one example.
But not by interaction, you can gap out the entire surface.
Oh, I see. Right. So in the absence of interaction, it is a high order,
yeah,
but then
on the reflection plane.
Oh, okay.
On the intersection of the reflection plane and the material.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Let's thank you, Tingman.
Thanks.